I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Bring it up, Rick. Oh, baby, final hour on a Tuesday. My final hour for the week. I'd lie and be like, I'm going to miss you guys, but I won't.
No, don't let the door hit you.
A lot of NFL draft coming up this hour. We're going to try and figure out and nail down what we actually know heading into the NFL draft round one coming up next Thursday night, so we can look forward to that. Lots of NFL draft discussion. But right now, we start the final hour here on a Tuesday. You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network, Odyssey.com, Odyssey app, 1430 AM, The Bet in Denver, KCBS HD3 Los Angeles, 105.9 FM HD2 Chicago, and YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports with our buddy, the sports cheetah, Preston Johnson. Preston's awesome. We love him. His beard's luxurious. His thoughts on sports are great. Sharp better too. Preston, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken here on a Tuesday. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good. And let's start. I was going to start with something else, but in our last segment, Preston, we reviewed the Woj tweet about James Harden. And why don't we just kind of start there and talk about Brooklyn a little bit, where now it kind of looks like maybe we don't see him until the first game of the playoffs. I think his status for even the playoffs is at least cloudy right now. It's at least uncertain, you know, when we're going to see James Harden back as a result of suffering a setback in his hamstring injury. That's what Woj reported about 30 minutes ago. So with that in mind, like, can you ever remember a situation where the favorite to win the title for months and months and months and months, like, never had their core group of players together, and we were all kind of just guessing? I mean, what are you doing with Brooklyn right now?
I don't think, off the top of my head, no. The answer is probably no to that. And I think a lot of it just has to do with once the trade was made. You know, the automatic market was like, okay, everyone's going to bet the Nets. We need to make them the favorite. But then they earned, I think, that recognition as the favorite after some time, even without Kevin Durant. Just the James Harden Nets were so dang good, especially offensively. And I think they kind of ended up grading out better defensively than most anticipated. So I thought they'd kind of garnish that top favorite in the East market fairly. And then sure enough, the reason being James Harden, Kevin Durant finally gets back healthy and now Harden's out. And then, like you were talking about, probably out another month or so, if not longer. So it changes everything. I can't remember even a time really as rollercoasty just in general that the like futures markets have been in the East. And I think we've talked before about this high as someone who like really appreciated what Harden did in Houston and embracing, you know, the three pointers or layups kind of philosophy and the analytical way that they played. I like totally somehow underrated Harden and his impact to a team offensively. And so right when the trade happened, I was like, man, Bucks plus 350 to win the East. What a steal. And then just like shortly after that, about, you know, a month later, it's like, okay, wait, maybe the Nets are just going to be ridiculously good. And then like a month later, I'm like, well, Nets, I don't know who beats them. It's over. And then Embiid comes back. Sixers have looked really, really good still. And now Harden's out for a while, who I think is really the key piece of kind of swinging the Nets from just another team in the East to being the favorite. So this is, yeah, it's all up in the air, and it's just been back and forth. And I feel like they're toying with my emotions and feelings because I discarded them early. And now I was like, okay, it's going to be the Nets. And now I'm back to, well, if no Harden, then this could be a real, you know, open East.
So is there a bet to be made right now, a futures bet, as it concerns the Eastern Conference, Preston? And if so, what is it?
So I'll tell you, because even the Bucks, yeah, if it weren't for, you know, priors on them the last few seasons and just some of the data just surrounding the core of their players, they haven't graded out nearly as well as the Sixers this season alone. And, you know, even those games without Embiid, that second stint here when he was injured, I was really impressed with what Philadelphia did. So I think if you're going to look for a team that could potentially end up being the top spot two in the one seed, and it just has the force and Embiid inside that really no one else in the East can hang. And like even tonight, looking at that Nets-Pelicans game, like it's just like such a weird matchup because no Durant and Harden, sure, but also no Aldridge, no Claxton, who'd been kind of like their younger big off the bench, who's been springy and able to, you know, use his athleticism to hang inside. They're starting Blake Griffin at center, Jeff Green, and then DeAndre Jordan's still there. But like, who's going to hang and stop Steven Adams and Zion Williamson? And I mean, even if they're starting Landry Shamet, who's at small forward. Like, is he going to be able to hang with Brandon Ingram? Probably not. So there's just like, it's a really conducive matchup, I think, for New Orleans to win tonight. But then kind of going forward and applying that to who's going to stop Embiid in the playoffs. I mean, it's just, yeah, I think it's without Harden, Durant, and Kyrie Irving, Philadelphia is a team I think that deserves to be the favorite at that point.
Boy, you said Blake Griffin starting at center, and my first thought was like, do I need to go check what Zion Williamson's point total is tonight at various sports books to bet the over in that situation? Because it doesn't exactly set him like the
rebound.
True. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like anyone doing anything within 6 feet of the basket against the Brooklyn Nets basically sounds like a bet possibly. Maybe you can help us kind of understand something, Preston, because, you know, I think you went where Nick and I went when we talked about the Eastern Conference, which is like, how can Philadelphia, and this is everywhere, this isn't unique to, you know, our show sponsor Bet Rivers or another sports book. Like, Philadelphia is the consensus third choice in the Eastern Conference, and Milwaukee is the consensus second choice in the Eastern Conference based on what you've seen this season. And I feel like we have more data on Milwaukee and Philly than we have on, you know, basically everybody else in the Eastern Conference almost with how many games they played. Can you kind of give us a reasonable explanation? Maybe it's just like no one's bet yet and it doesn't matter, but why Milwaukee would be a larger favorite to win the Eastern Conference than Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of going into, you know, the priors that we have on them and what they've done the last two seasons, and there's a bigger sample size of it.
In the regular season, I think it's kind of what you mean. Like in the regular season, like they've won so many games.
Obviously, right. Yeah, and even 2 years ago, like they were up 2-0 against Kawhi Leonard in the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially going to win the NBA championship, and Kawhi Leonard went berserk, so did Fred VanVleet, and, you know, it's a different story. And then last year, Giannis gets hurt against the Heat, who, you know, we see Tyler Hero for whatever reason now playing like he did last regular season, but in the bubble, he didn't miss any shots and weird things happen. And it's kind of part of like the variance game and understanding what really applies and what doesn't. And as a whole, this is kind of what I was getting at too. Personally, I do have the Bucks slightly ahead of Philadelphia, but if you were to just look at the data from this season, it's a different story. Now, what I think kind of helps Milwaukee in a sense, and especially in the playoffs that we didn't see the last 2 years. And maybe you guys have talked about this some, but I think part of what helped them to some degree, not as a regular season team, was trading their depth away to get Jrue Holiday, as well as some future picks and stuff. But the idea being that in these last two runs, Mike Budenholzer has just, he has no willingness to not play 10 or 11 guys deep, down 2-3 in a series, like for the season. And he'll play 9 or 10 guys, and Pat Connaughton's still playing 15 minutes off the bench. And it's like, you need to have Giannis and Middleton and all these guys playing 40 plus minutes in those spots, like the Sixers or the Raptors were doing. Now he kind of has to. The drop off now and on their bench is just much more extreme than it was a year ago. And plus, I think he's kind of learned his lesson. So theoretically, I think the starting five for Milwaukee is better than it has been the last 2 years. Going through 8 or 9 deep, it's not as good. But in the playoffs, that doesn't matter as much in high leverage spots and high leverage series games. So I think that's part of the reason Milwaukee is still going to get some love from bettors. And then I think just ultimately people that are kind of breaking it down, looking forward to a playoff setup rather than this regular season.
I thought you did a really good job backing that up. My thought, though, is Coach Bud will find a way to mess it up. That's just me, though. So we'll see what happens. Come up, come play.
You know
what?
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah,
can
please,
I jump in
course.
Again real quick? I had someone message me that. It was like this last week on Friday or Saturday. Very similar sentiment after they played was it the Warriors? They played somebody and just
they played the Clippers on Friday. I'm wrong about that. Go ahead.
It might have been the Clippers. It was a game that they just completely gave away and lost. And it was a similar thing where Budenholzer's just never going to change. And that is a worry. That's definitely a concern. So kind of going back to your point, like maybe Philadelphia is being overlooked. And I think from a price perspective, that's probably the case, especially with the hardness. So we can move on, but I think it is an interesting point that Budenholzer, again, he still has to make the change. We haven't seen him do it. I'm just hoping or expecting he might, but he may not.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, it's like in the NFL, like the assumption of rational coaching. Maybe he gets there, or maybe he's a horrendous coach and they should have fired him after they collapsed against Toronto a couple of years ago. Anyway, you bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, joined by the sports cheetah, Preston Johnson, here on a Tuesday. Preston, we got to talk about Steph Curry. Obviously, he's going supernova right now. He's unbelievable. But then it leaves us like, okay, like what are the Warriors actually going to be here, right? So I guess this will be a two-parter for you, right? Does Steph Curry and his current run averaging 41 points per game over his last nine, is it going to affect at all how you bet the Warriors moving forward in the near future here? Like maybe they'll be overvalued, for instance. I'm making that up. Maybe you disagree. And then when we get to playoff time, right, they'll be in the play-in tournament. I think probably likely to have a first-round series against either Utah or Phoenix. Is the upside of the Warriors to beat either Utah or Phoenix in round number one? So the Warriors in the short term and the long term, and your thoughts on Curry and company.
Okay, so this is kind of a cop-out because I think it can go both ways. And it just ultimately has to do with like three-point variance, which is so annoying of an answer, but that's just kind of how the NBA is a lot of the time, especially in the regular season. But even like in a one-game playoff, I think Golden State will likely find themselves in. Everyone's, I think, going to be rushing to like, all right, we got Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green in a playoff game for it all. Like, we got to bet the Warriors. And really, Steph could just go 3-for-12 that game instead of 10-for-14. Like, it just could happen, and then they lose the play-in game, and they're not even in the playoffs. So I think people have to be a little wary of how hot he's been. I think it's four of the last five games he's made at least 10 threes. And the only other player that's ever made 10 threes five or more times in their career is Klay Thompson, and Steph's done it four times in the last week, basically. So it's an insane run that I don't know if the markets are necessarily going to react where all of a sudden there's value betting against the Warriors, because look, they still lost to Boston the other night anyway. It's like they're winning all these games. They're still a game under 500, I think, or maybe right at 500 now. So it is, I think, something that's ultimately changing the ultimate perception of like how good the team is, because Steph's had to do this just for them to be in games or to win these games. And without him, if anything, yeah, there's probably some downside, but I haven't seen the market reacting in a way that was like, oh, we got to fade Golden State now. I think it's been pretty sharp.
Preston, let's talk about Phoenix too, as well, because I think, you know, Nick and I started to have this conversation in the first hour. I have a lot of trouble figuring out like what I think Phoenix is, right? Like I think I have some pretty strong opinions on Utah, and this core has been together forever, even without, you know, Bogdanovich, but like, still, I feel like I know what Utah is. Lakers and Clippers. I feel like I kind of, you know, I feel like we all kind of know what the Lakers and Clippers are and what our expectations for them should be. Phoenix has an insane regular season record. Normally, that would mean you're kind of a title contender, but I'm not really sure how I feel about them. If they get into a playoff series in a, you know, a tightly contested matchup against one of these other good teams, I'm not sure what I would do in that situation. Have you thought at all about like what your approach is going to be with Phoenix going forward?
Let me ask you this. Do we know what Chris Paul is?
Like just in general, like overall, do we know what Chris Paul is? I mean,
it's like come playoff time. This is interesting because it kind of pulls me both ways. Part of it is like, wow, Chris Paul, he's never come through in the playoffs. Maybe he tweaks a hammy, hurts his wrist, or just completely chokes. Because that's basically what's happened to him, you know, in his career so far. And in spots where he's been more of a favorite probably than even the Suns will be come playoff time this year. Part of it is also, I think, kind of fluky, and you have to respect that Chris Paul just makes everyone so much better. But I'm with you in that everyone else on that team, we haven't really seen in, you know, a playoff scenario that is worthwhile other than Jay Crowder, who was great and hit a ton of threes for Miami part of that run along with Tyler Hero last year in the bubble. So I have a ton of question marks, and I'll say this, it's similar to kind of looking at the data just from this season. Like, it loves the Suns, it loves the Sixers, it loves the Jazz, but it's also kind of one of those things where when it comes down to it, the playoffs, you have to kind of model a little bit differently than just using the regular season data, especially when you have teams like the Clippers and Kawhi and Paul George, you know, taking load management days every other day, or LeBron and Anthony Davis not playing the full season. You kind of have to change things up. So for me, my guess is that I will be trying to find ways not to bet on the Suns, but my numbers will say to. And so I haven't actually looked at it from, I guess, a perspective where I'm trying to bet them now or ahead. I think if you were to bet the Suns before the season, you're in a great spot. You have value for sure. I think trying to chase it now would be incorrect. I think they've kind of, we've seen like their peak, their ceiling, and I think the market's been adjusted there for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. So I wouldn't necessarily rush to anything now. Probably play matchup stuff that's going to be dependent in their playoff series. But I think I'm going to see every series and see value on the Suns, no matter who they play in that second round, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers, whoever it is. And I'm not sure if I'm going to end up firing or not, but I think the numbers will say that they're a team that'll be underrepresented or undervalued in the playoffs.
Preston, final question here. We got about a minute to go, and I will leave Miami and Charlotte out of this question here. The current 7 and 8 seed holders in the Eastern Conference, both of them have sizable leads over the teams in 9th and 10th. So out of these four teams, Indiana, Chicago, Washington, and Toronto, right? The four teams that could feasibly get into those final two spots, 9 and 10th, the play-in tournament, which is the most dangerous and why? In about 60 seconds or less.
It's not the Bulls, sadly, and they made the moves that I think people thought were that was going to be the case. Just haven't panned them out yet, and I guess Levine's not 100%, so when he's back, we'll see, but I don't think it's them. They don't defend. Washington, you could say the same thing, but also I think Bradley Beal is just the best player of any of those two teams, so maybe it's them, but also they have Russell Westbrook, so that kind of goes the other direction. I'll say it's probably Indiana, just because from a talent perspective, they're the closest if they're, you know, more or less healthy at that point. But Toronto, from a coaching perspective, with Nick Nurse and just scheming game one to game two to game three, et cetera, I think that's where the upside would be. So I'd probably say Indiana and Toronto and Washington and Chicago kind of being similar teams that just don't have enough defense or enough coaching, I think, to kind of make up the difference.
Preston, great stuff. We appreciate it, man. Follow him on Twitter at Sports Cheetah. Preston, good luck tonight. We look forward to catching up with you again soon here on You Better You Bet.
Yeah, man. Take care, guys.
That's our buddy, Preston Johnson. I always love talking NBA with Preston. We don't have enough time to kind of break down what he talked about. Maybe we'll do some on the other side. A lot of NFL draft to close the show. Coming up with myself and Ken Barkley here. You Better You Bet on a Tuesday on the BetQL. Wait for it. Audio Network.